John 14, 8 through 17, 25 to 27. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I speak not on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides in you, and you will be in, he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, remind you all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. It's the word of God for people of God. Thanks be to God.
Once upon a time, there was a great wind, a mighty life-giving energy that breathed everything into existence, a power that moved along the waters of the deep, the Spirit of God. One day, a group who loved God was praying and meeting, celebrating a Jewish feast with friends and family, unaware of what was going to happen. Heaven was about to pay a visit. A violent wind filled the room where they prayed. Tongues of fire descended, separated, and rested on each of them. The Spirit of God didn't just come near them, the Spirit filled them. And each one began to speak in a foreign language, the many languages of all the people who lived in Jerusalem. All those who passed by marveled at what they saw. How could it be that each one could hear their own native language at the same time? Some claimed it was miraculous. Others scoffed and called them drunk. But Peter stepped forward and boldly proclaimed the truth. What the scripture described long ago had now come to pass right before their eyes. I will pour out my spirit, the Lord told his people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Here was the moment. The power of God filled the faithful. The body of Christ rose up, alive and active, equipped and empowered to love God, to love others. The good news continues to be proclaimed. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the best news is, for those who believe, the story never ends.
Everyone, this is the day that we celebrate the anointing, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on a group of Jesus believers that changed the world because it birthed the church. Happy birthday, church! Not just our church, but every church, the church with the capital C. See, however that works out. It is the universal church. This is a day of celebration, and next week will be a day of celebration too. That's why we have a two-step celebration here at Harrisonville United Methodist Church. At this church, we are going to be celebrating with a little Holy Spirit celebration cake afterwards, so you're all invited to go to the hub to taste a delicious cake that Darlene Hodges has provided for us. And next week, we are going to be having that hymn sing that Kip talked about. That's why, if you haven't done so already, grab a sheet of paper back there, fill out the number of your favorite hymn or anything. Those of you online, text or email me. Let us know what hymn you'd like to hear next week. And that way we can celebrate Pentecost a second time. It is going to be amazing. Now, in the midst of our Holy Spirit Pentecost celebrations, I think it's good to acknowledge something about Pentecost as a Christian celebration. If you are outside the church looking in, it's weird. It's weird. Come on, let's come to grips with it. I remember when I first came to church after being away for so long, and we started this Pentecost thing, this Holy Spirit thing, and I thought, what is this? Because I wasn't familiar with the story. Christian holidays can be really powerful in our culture, right? As the Reverend Dr. Alan Brim, a Presbyterian pastor, shares, he said, Christmas and Easter are readily adopted by our culture. Our culture loves Christmas because of the spirit of giving and of receiving. And our culture loves Easter for the new life that it represents. Plus, you know, Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. But you can't do that with Pentecost. There isn't anything that the culture can grab a hold of. Not a tongue of Holy Spirit flame. Not a whoosh of wind. It's kind of indescribable. It's kind of different. It's kind of weird. And yet it is one of the most important celebrations we can have. I'm really surprised that we don't have more people coming into churches or watching online during this celebration, because it's like this. Christmas celebrates the incarnation. Easter celebrates the resurrection. And Pentecost celebrates the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, on all of us. How amazing is that? And we should celebrate that. Again, as Alan Brim says, he says, the Holy Spirit, when it comes, it forms faith in our hearts. It gathers us together in community. And the Holy Spirit empowers us with gifts so that we can serve and love one another more. Those are reasons to celebrate. And so today we're going to celebrate. We heard the story from really based on the book of Acts, that we saw that in the video today. I love that story. It's such a raucous story. It's such a rowdy story. It's such an out of control story. And it just does my heart good. How about your hearts? Doesn't it excite you? But you know, the Holy Spirit wasn't just an event that happened way back when. The Holy Spirit is right now. The Holy Spirit is in our hearts right now. The Holy Spirit is with us. And that's what the Gospel of John shares with us. That's the wisdom that the Gospel of John shares with us. That's the insight that the Gospel of John shares with us. The insight of who the Holy Spirit is for us. The Holy Spirit is a promise of a gift of Jesus transformation. And so we're going to go from the video, which happened after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, and we're going to go in a flashback now. Are you ready for a flashback? John takes us back months before to Jesus at that Last Supper with his followers sitting around a table. And Jesus is giving them a pep talk, the last pep talk that he is going to be able to give to them. Because very soon, he's going to be arrested, because he'll be betrayed by Judas, right? And he will be eventually put to death. Jesus knows that's going to turn his disciples' lives upside down. So he begins to talk to him, and his very first words are, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Now, we love those words, don't we? But you know, I'm thinking when the disciples first heard those words at that Last Supper long ago, I'm thinking in their hearts are going, uh-oh. Uh-oh. What is Jesus about to say? Because it's been a weird night. It all started when, before the dinner, when they were all gathered together and they were taking off their sandals and whatnot, Jesus goes around to each of them with a basin and a towel and he starts washing their feet. He's their master, he's their Lord. You don't wash the feet, but he washed the feet. And it was a wonderful lesson about serving love, but it was weird. And then they started eating. They were getting into the meal. And then Jesus, well, he drops the mic. He says all of a sudden, one of you is going to betray me. Well, that led to some lively conversation. As the disciples were all trying to decide, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And then Jesus says, remember that if you're a follower of mine, you have this commandment. That is to love one another. People are going to know who you are by how you love one another. So they're thinking, what? Of course, what's this all about? What's going on? And then Jesus gets into a private conversation with Peter. And I'm sure the other disciples are watching, but, you know, Peter's trying to kind of butter Jesus up. You know, hey, I'm with you all the way. And Jesus says, you know, when push comes to shove, you're going to disown me three times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's how Jesus begins his pep talk, all the way in verse 1 of chapter 14. And then he proceeds to tell them that, by the way, I'm going to be leaving you soon. That makes them a little upset. But Jesus says it's okay. It's like, even though you can't follow me there, you know the place where I'm going. And Jesus says, you know what? Because you have me, you have seen the Father. Because I and the Father are like this. So you know the Father because the Father is in me. Pretty straightforward, right? So what's with Philip's question that we heard Larry read? Lord, show us the money. I mean, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Now, Jesus just told him who the Father was. Just told him that he and the Father are like this. Now, we're reading this, and we're going, well, duh, Jesus is God. Jesus and the Father. But, let's not judge Philip so harshly here. Because Philip has been living with Jesus on earth for quite a while, for 3 years. And he's seen Jesus, you know, eating with him around the campfire. He's seen Jesus sleeping. He's heard Jesus snore, maybe. And he saw Jesus weep at Lazarus' tomb. The Father doesn't do those things. God the Father doesn't do those things. That's what my Lord Jesus, my human Lord Jesus does, but that's not what the Father does. Can you see what's going on here? And lest you think that we don't have that issue, let me tell you one of the most common things I hear from people is, Rev Kev, I don't like the God of the Old Testament, but I love the God of the New Testament. Guess what? Same God. Same God. In fact, you know, in a way, that's known as a heresy, Marcionism. I'll share that at a later time. But what I would say is this: we all have a difficulty in seeing Jesus and the Father as one. And so that's why Jesus goes out of his way to explain, Philip, can you not see that I am the Father? Can you not see in me everything that you ascribe to God, everything that God is? And if not, then believe the works, the signs, the miracles that you've been a part of. How many times do we say, show us the Father? Or how about if I put the question this way? Those of us who are struggling in this world, and that makes all of us in here, where do you see Jesus in your life? Where do you see Jesus in this world? Where Jesus and the Father are one. If I was to call you on the telephone, if I was to come by your house, and I said, where have you seen Jesus today? Where have you seen Jesus yesterday? Where do you anticipate seeing Jesus tomorrow? Would you be able to answer that question? Jesus and the Father are one. And Jesus and the Father are with us. So I want to let that set on your hearts a little bit. This passage is deep. And then, oh, this is so good. Jesus says something else here that always amazes me, and it reminds me, and it kicks my tail. But he says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever taken that to heart? What greater works are you a part of? What greater works have you seen than what Jesus has done? Well, that seems impossible. And then he says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. I don't think that what Jesus has meant here is what Janis Joplin sang. Oh Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes Benz? And yet, I think sometimes we pray those prayers. I truly believe, though, when Jesus says you are asking in my Father's name, you are asking within the mission of the Father, which is to be a part of the Father as Jesus is a part of the Father. And that's what it means to ask. And then, friends, we come to the point where we hear what Jesus is teaching. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with doing the greater works. Not that Jesus is going to love us less if we don't do them, but even knowing what those are. And I struggle with even asking for things in Jesus' name. But then Jesus says this. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. And that is the promise. The promise that came on Pentecost. As Jesus says, this is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Even though the Spirit is here, they can't see or know. You know him because why? He abides in you. And he will be in you. I've said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And then Jesus ends as he begins, although he goes on with his pep talk. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is with you. Say this with me. God's Holy Spirit is with me. Let's say that together again. God's Holy Spirit is with me. And now, God's Holy Spirit is in me. God's Holy Spirit is in me. And that's why we celebrate. We don't celebrate simply because of, frankly, a weird experience that happened in the past, although it's really cool. We don't celebrate just because it's the birthday of the church. We celebrate the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, who is with us and in us forever. And God's Holy Spirit is not just something that's with us when we're dead and buried and with God up in heaven. No, the Holy Spirit is with us right now. And we should be excited about that. We should be up on our seats dancing about that. Those of you at home, send videos if you're doing that. We should be doing this. We should be celebrating because this is so, so unbelievably wonderful. that we experience 2,000 plus years later, God's love, God's mission, and we're a part of God's vision to connect with the disconnected in a Jesus-centered life because of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it otherwise. We can't do those greater works. We can't even ask in the Father's name, but we have the Holy Spirit. And so, friends, I ask you, don't be like the world who doesn't see and know. Open up your heart. Talk to God. Talk to Jesus. Talk to the Holy Spirit so that you will see and know and your life will be transformed by the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're going to start that prayer right now. This will be our prayer that takes us into Holy Communion. Are you ready? Well, I'm not quite. I have my special book here. So I'm going to focus on the cross and on this altar. And I invite you to let your hearts say these words as well. Dear God, you promise to give and keep giving the Holy Spirit to your people. Help us be more keenly aware of your existence in our life. Immerse us deeper into the waters of renewal. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And dwell more and more in our hearts. Form our hearts with your grace. Lead us to seek you first. May we find delight in you and all your creation. Bless us with joy and love. And all God's people said, Amen.